This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, as we look forward to another weekend in the NFL and some big games in college football. I mean, Penn State, Minnesota's got some value. LSU is, and Alabama is the game everybody's got circled on, circled on their calendar. Tua Tagovailoa progressing, should be able to play. We've been talking about Joe Burrow this season and the fact that this could be a Heisman moment for him in to win the award. And you go through all of the players that could win this Heisman Trophy. And I think Joe Burrow, as of right now, checks off a lot of boxes for me, right? One is got a team undefeated playing for a national championship. One of the better players at his position than others. He is second in the nation in passing yards per game. Has 30 touchdowns on the year. He's the SEC's leading passer. But one of the things about Joe Burrow, and we've been hitting on it a lot, is, and I think this is going to make an impact to those who vote for the Heisman Trophy, is that there is a dynamic look to the LSU offense that they haven't had in a long time, and he's the main reason behind it. And I think that is either a reason to vote for him, but it's also, it's one of those subconscious things where you're saying, golly, I'm seeing this really for the first time at this school, and this is the guy that came through the forefront and did this. Going to Tuscaloosa and beating Alabama, I mentioned this earlier, it worked for Johnny Manziel, but Johnny Manziel had some numbers to back it up. Joe Burrow, the same thing. It's not just having a good Saturday in Tuscaloosa knocking off Alabama. It is also combined that with all of the things that sort of a Heisman Trophy winner gets. The way you vote for this is you pick three guys, you first place, second place, third base, third place, and you calculate the votes in all the regions and all, and you see Pac-12 guys doing really good in the West, more Big Ten guys doing well in the Northeast, Midwestern part of the United States, and of course, Southern guys in the SEC doing well in the South, leaking over into the Southwest. Joe Burrow is going to be on every ballot. There are some guys that may not be on every ballot. Joe Burrow is going to be on every ballot. You may vote for Jalen Hurts, the Heisman Trophy winner. You may vote for Jonathan Taylor. You might vote for a number of other guys. But Joe Burrow, if he beats Alabama and continues to play like this without any major hiccup, is going to get on every ballot by everybody, and that could be enough to win it.
Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Throwback Thursday, it is 1991. On this date, Magic Johnson announcing he had HIV. And it's still fascinating that in 2019, he's still around and healthy and still has HIV, but has done a lot of things with his life since then. I don't know that it's this song. I know it's Will Smith.
It's Ring My Bell.
Ring My Bell? Okay, yeah, I got you. All right. That's another one. Will Smith's been famous forever.
Forever. Hard to believe. I mean, I know you did the same thing I did when Parents Just Don't Understand first came out.
Right.
And thinking that this was going to be like a one-off.
Yeah.
I didn't think... 30 plus years later, we'd still have Will Smith relevant in our life.
Now, he's in a movie that just bombed, Gemini Man, I think it's called. It's not doing particularly well, but he's still in movies.
Yeah.
They still think he should be starring in movies at this, all these years later.
He's got a blockbuster coming out in January.
I'm sure he does.
Yeah, Bad Boys for Life.
Oh, that's right. The Bad Boys. Yeah, that's right. So, Will Smith's been around a long time.
That movie will take off just because for nostalgic reasons.
Oh, I have this story I wanted to get to because you used to live in Hawaii.
Yep.
And I saw this and I freaked out. The story is that a man died by falling through soft ground into a lava pod.
Okay.
All right. So they said he was trimming some trees on his property. The soft ground led way
where he fell through it into a lava crevasse. Now, he did not die. It freaked me out because at first I thought, oh my God, he fell in lava. That's got to be terrifying.
He did the Terminator.
He died.
Right? Gave the thumbs up.
Right. Yeah. He died by the fall, but it was near enough to the lava when they retrieved his body. Is that a fear living in Hawaii that there's lava around that you got to be careful?
Only on the Big Island.
Okay.
Only on the Big Island. The rest of the islands, all those volcanoes are dormant.
I got you.
So basically, picture if you can, because all these islands are slowly moving. They've been moving along. Like there was a hole in the earth that was creating it all, and you know that created the island of Oahu, the island of Maui, Kauai. You know, and then now it's on the Big Island where it's still creating that island.
Gotcha. I gotcha. Okay, so they actually the term was lava tube. Yeah. He fell into a lava tube. So they say an elderly man died while falling into a lava tube on his property.
Those things are real. Those things are all throughout.
Okay.
All throughout Kauai.
Now, is that filled with lava or was it just something created by lava?
Think of it as, just like a big cave.
This is clickbait headline, man.
Yeah, just think of it.
Because I thought, oh my God, he fell into a fiery pit of lava. How terrifying.
No, it literally is what you're thinking it is. It's just a big tube that leads to where the main volcano was. Because everyone knows, you know, volcano explodes up.
Right. Okay.
That's where it's the most dangerous.
Gotcha.
But just because it goes out, it doesn't mean that it doesn't go sideways. And lava goes sideways a lot. And that's how you got the creation of these islands.
Oh, okay. Very cool. Okay. Very cool. All right. So the reason I brought this up was I wanted to ask you, but also to remind people, there was a scene. You ever seen the movie Volcano with Tommy Lee Jones? The dumbest scene in that entire movie is when that metro worker that emergency worker is rescuing that subway
driver. Yeah.
And he's walking through the subway car and it's burning and melting his feet. And he jumps. He says they jumps. He's jumping with the body on his back. He lands feet first in the hot boiling lava, but has enough strength to throw the body to safety while he disintegrates in front of his friends.
That's real.
Yeah, that's got to be one of the dumbest things I've ever seen on a screen. Somebody,
you mean to tell me that if you were faced in that situation, you wouldn't have the superhuman strength to throw a person, even though that's probably the most excruciating pain one could ever possibly have?
Yeah, exactly. Or keeping myself cool while my feet were dissolving in front of me and my legs were just slowly being eaten away by the molten heat of the lava.
They had beads of sweat on his face.
Yeah, and he was like, throws the body and then just said, oh, and just kind of becomes pudding. Somebody in a room wrote that, and then everybody looked at that and went, brilliant, let's get that in there. And then they had a director that filmed that. They actually got a set. They got like real lava or lava, fake lava that was coming out. They made it really hot. They started melting things. They actually filmed this. They told the actor, okay, and then you're going to jump. And as you jump, remember, you're not going to freak out, right? Because I know you would normally, but in this scene, you're not going to freak out. You're going to keep your cool. You're going to keep yourself steady. And then you're going to throw the body to safety. Now you are burning alive. And you did lose your legs, and your body is slowly just being eaten alive by the lava. But remember, you still have your brain, and your brain is telling you to throw the body to safety, and you will do that. And the actor's like, okay, I guess I'll do that. Unbelievable, terrible, terrible scene. Every time I watch it, I cringe, because the movie is good, and it's really interesting up until that point. Like, up until that point, you're like, this is kind of believable. Like, the city of Los Angeles is being overrun by an open fissure from an earthquake, and there's lava, and it's eating up Wilshire Boulevard and Beverly Hills and all these houses, and they're trying to protect it, and Tommy Lee Jones can't contain it anymore, and he's got to figure out another way, and they're knocking down a building at the last second. But this scene makes you go, oh, you got to be kidding.
You were all with the Anne Heche rolling a basketball?
Yeah, remember that?
The city, the street moves this way, guys.
Remember, she goes to Tommy Lee Jones. She goes, it's going to flow this way. And he goes, what can we do? She goes, nothing. Yeah, just nothing. Just evacuate, save as many lives as you can, which is the Hollywood answer whenever there's an apocalyptic movie. Whenever you just go, save as many lives as you can, it's over. And he goes, how about we build a dam? With what? And they look up. There's a building. building. Why not? Let's knock that over.
Yeah, why not?
Let's just get some. Let's get some explosive techs in here and knock that thing down.
Yeah, and the fact that there's a little girl looking for a kid,
of course,
right before the explosion.
Because they don't evacuate everybody; they just let everybody walk around, do whatever the heck they want. Yep, and she's.
You know what a 30 for 30, what 30 for 30 we need?
What? Yes. Go ahead.
Tommy Lee Jones and Lee Corso.
What's their relationship?
They were roommates in college.
They were roommates in college, right? They were connected.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Lee Corso, Burt Reynolds' coach. Was it Lee Corso?
Oh, now I'm second guessing myself. I know. All right. I know Tommy Lee Jones, was roommates with someone that's big in the sports world.
Okay. I like Tommy Lee Jones. Has he done anything recently?
He's in everything.
Yeah, I know. He's in everything. But has he done anything recently?
I'm certain he has.
Okay. I just want to make sure. Because he's great. He's great in everything he's in.
Well, I mean, you know, he played college football.
He did.
Oh, no. He was roommates with Al Gore.
Oh, that's not as exciting.
That's not exciting. Never mind.
No, so there will be no 30 for 30 on that relationship.
Nah, I'm a little disappointed now.
Lee Corso coached Burt Reynolds.
Yes.
At Florida State. So he had that going for him. Imagine Burt Reynolds, a football player. Can you imagine seeing Burt Reynolds as a football player? Like, you went to Florida State at that time, and you're watching Burt Reynolds play football, and you then start realizing, then a few years later, he becomes one of the biggest box office draws in Hollywood.
Yeah.
You're like, I watched that guy play football, and now he's on all these movies, and
Tommy Lee Jones played college football at Harvard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was a part of the Harvard's, he played guard. He was part of Harvard's undefeated 1968 football team.
Wow, did they win a national championship?
No, but he was named first team all Ivy League.
No kidding. Was that a year with a plethora of NFL stars coming from the Ivy League?
That's a good question.
That's a good question.
You asked if he was in something recently.
Yes.
He wasn't at Astra.
Oh, that's right. He was with that's the Brad Pitt movie.
That's recent.
That is recent. Very good.
No, he seems, I mean, doesn't look like he had a film release in 2018, but.
Yeah. He's slowing down in his old age. After all, he was on the 1968 Harvard team.
Yeah, he has a movie coming out in 2020, The Comeback Trills, and he's playing Duke Montana.
All right, the guys just keep chugging along. They just keep they keep getting work in Hollywood. Keep going. Work till you no retirement. Well, yeah. Always find a job.
73.
Good for
years
him.
Years young.
It's great. I love Tommy Lee Jones. Really good. All right, coming up, I want Ron's thoughts on tonight's NFL Thursday night game as the Chargers go to Oakland for the last time in history as they go to Vegas next year. Next on SB Nation AM.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Our professionals know what it takes to get the job done right. Professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Come see for yourself. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. MC Hammer, hey, too legit to quit.
You said you're bringing up Oakland.
That's right. Oaktown.
Oaktown.
That's right.
It's almost as if this was planned.
That's right. Chargers and Raiders tonight, Thursday night football.
Real quick.
Yes.
All you guys out there, do yourself a favor. YouTube this video. I didn't realize.
Yeah, I have to remember this.
Get the original, the official video. It's 14 minutes long.
What?
The first 8-9 minutes of it is just stars of that era being interviewed because MC Hammer has quit the business. Jim Belushi is a news anchor and has announced to the world that MC Hammer has quit. And it's just like going to Donald Glover, Danny Glover, New Kids on the Block. I mean, you just name it. Every star of that era asking them, MC Hammer quit, and they're just giving their immediate reaction.
Oh,
and there's conspiracy theories. It's the dumbest, lamest thing I think I've watched in a long time.
Before we get to Thursday Night Football, real quick, how come MC Hammer wasn't able to resurrect his career in any capacity?
Because Alex Rodriguez hasn't visited him yet?
That's right. You would think. I mean, he made good songs. People liked his songs.
Well, I mean, no,
and then he disappeared, and that was it.
Well, now he's a pastor.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, spoke too soon. I thought he was living on the street.
No, yeah, lost I mean, he all was, that fortune. He was. I think he was dangerously
broke.
Close. I mean, he lost
very broke,
and I don't understand how he lost it. I mean, we talk about we talk about athletes losing. I mean, he was the biggest star on the planet for a good 3-4 years
yep,
at least.
That's right. What do you think is worse, trying really hard to get rich and never getting it, or being rich once and losing everything?
Oof.
Like you have an entrepreneurial mind and everything you try just doesn't work and you never catch a break.
That's one
none
of those.
None of your ideas work out, but you're trudging along and then you die. You never were homeless or anything,
right.
But you never struck it rich, or having millions and millions of dollars piling into your account every month and then one day you wake up and all of it's gone.
Yeah, I think the latter would be worse.
I think the latter would be worse.
Because you were on top of the world, but that's a would you rather.
Yeah, that's right. It is a would you rather. So what do you think tonight? Can we believe the Chargers would get back to 500 if they win tonight? Is this a late surge Charger team?
No, they need a win. They just need to handle business. You know, I mean, right now they're playing against a team where that team is leaving their city for good and moving on to a place that it's accepting them. It's a little slap in the face for the Chargers, I would think.
Right.
It's like, oh, you guys are accepted here, and you're going to a place where you're accepted. When we left, we're not accepted anywhere.
That's
people
right.
People want to ship us to England.
That's right. The people are buzzing about us going to England. You know, you're right on that. Good for the people of Oakland that have not taken out that frustration on this football team.
Yeah.
They have not done that. They are still very supportive. They are still loving this team with all their heart. They have not turned their back on it. They have, you know, they'll continue to support the Raiders even though they're moving to Vegas.
And really look at it. Oakland lost everything.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll still have the A's next year, but who knows how long the A's are going to be.
They
lost the Warriors.
Yep.
I mean, but
they
who
sure
knows?
Did.
I mean, with the A's there, the Coliseum is, is terrible.
Yeah.
The whole stadium needs to be renovated. Actually, the whole stadium just needs to be torn down and rebuilt.
If the A's won't pay for a pitcher, they ain't going to pay for a renovation to the stadium. Right? Billy Beane will be like, how many young engineers and construction guys can I bring up through the college ranks that can work for basically as small salary as possible?
I don't need the top engineer.
Yeah, that's right.
I just need, give me like five mediocre ones.
Yeah, give me five mediocre engineers, and I'll make up for the star engineer that I can't hire by using all of these five guys that can get the same kind of production from that one major engineer we can't hire for his high salary. That's right. That's how Billy Beane would work it. So the Raiders at 4-4. I don't know what that kind of team they
are. Coach of the year candidate.
Yeah, coach of the year candidate John Gruden. Knock on wood, if you're with me. But the Chargers have done this before. The Chargers have had slow starts and turned it around and played well
all the time.
So I don't know where the Raiders go. I don't know if the Raiders are an 8-8 team. I don't know if they're 4-12. They never win a game again. Who knows? But the Chargers, if you sold me that they could win enough games to close out the season, maybe even upset a Chiefs team once or even a Vikings team at the end of the season, I would buy that. I could legitimately buy that. But the Raiders, no. I still have no idea who they are, what they are going into this game. Now, again, I can make the same argument with the Chargers, but I'd be more apt to listen to somebody telling me, hey, don't sell this team. This team is getting good at the right time, and they're winning games, and they'll be a threat down the stretch, because I've seen it happen. There was one year they did where they started off slow, then went out, and not only that, they went into the playoffs as like the hottest team in the NFL. I think they lost to the Broncos. That year, but they were the dangerous. Don't play them, man. Do not play them. And it was a year that they started off. They started off terrible, and wondering where it was going. And they caught fire at the right time. They do still have to play the Raiders twice. I'm very curious. I love you talk about all these home fans traveling out to Los Angeles to see their team play the Chargers at that stadium. Raider fans don't have to travel. They already are there. There's still a Raider presence in Los Angeles. They don't have to get on the plane and fly out to LA. They're already living there. That game is going to be another case of watching a team just dominate that stadium and dominate that field. So that's Thursday night football tonight coming up, and we'll continue to process week 10 in the NFL tomorrow. You know, should
the
be
other
good.
Thing, I mean, this kind of game could make Barrett happy or more infuriated. Because when he puts it on his TV, it'll be dark outside, but he'll be watching a game that's light.
Yeah, he'll be wondering why the sunshine is over there. What happened?
Can we change our time to that time?
Why can't we be Pacific time and have the sunlight like they do? What's wrong with us? God. And you know what's funny? I was thinking about him yesterday because I was out driving, and I was like, oh, my God, it is dark early. You don't get used to that when you've had sunlight for a while. I was trying to do something outside. My wife said, you better get that done early. It's getting dark now. And I'm like, I got time. And then I looked outside and I was like, oh my gosh, I don't have any time anymore. She's going to come home and want to know why I didn't do that. And I'm going to tell her I ran out of sunlight. Thing. I ran out of sunlight. And she's going to say, I told you you were going to run out of sunlight.
I do that.
And you didn't believe me.
I sit there and I got a honey-do list and I'm like, you know what? I'll just sit on the guy. Like yesterday, I got sucked into a movie that I hadn't seen before. I recommend it. I had so much fun watching The Kingsman.
Oh, The Kingsman is a fun movie. Yeah.
It's really fun.
Fun movie.
And I got sucked into it the first time I was watching it. And I was like, all right. You know, I was like, turned it on just for a little bit while I was having lunch. And next thing I know, I'm like, oh, it's 3:00. Wow. Where did the time go?
Wow. I know. It'll disappear. Yep. You look outside and you're like, oh, shoot. I can't get outside to do that thing now. Yep. It's terrible. So, yeah, I understand. It is, but tonight, I mean, I don't know. Is there a nostalgia feeling for the Chargers going to Oakland to play the Raiders? To me, like, is there a rivalry? That division,
only
everybody's
if there
rivalry.
Was a baseball but, field. Then there's nostalgia.
Yeah, that's right. It doesn't feel, and you correct me because you're a Charger fan, but I was in Denver for 10 years, and every Raider game was Raider week. It's Raider week. It's Raider week.
I think that's for all the entire AFC West.
So they did it in San Diego years, too?
No,
it's
yeah.
like, oh, the Raiders. It's Raider week. It's Raider week. Hate the Raiders. Hate the Raiders.
It was. I mean, they're the hated ones. That's why when it first came down, when the Chargers moved into L.A., when there was the three teams who was going to move to L.A., and they thought,
right.
oh, you know what? The Chargers and Raiders could just share a stadium. I was like, dude, that's the worst idea in human
history.
Oh, no
kidding. No kidding.
You know, that was right around the time when we found out the Clippers had a secret tunnel.
That's right, yeah.
And the Rockets exploited that secret tunnel because Chris Paul's like, hey, I know a way. Come here.
I know a way, right.
That's all I could picture in my head was that, you know, there's going to be a tunnel and it's just going to lead to like a back alley room that, you know, has all the look and feel of Fight Club. And that's where the Chargers and Raiders will meet up after games.
Yeah, because like the Giants and Jets share a stadium, but they're not rivals. I mean, they're rivals within the city in terms of the fans, but they don't play. They only play each other once a year.
And what's weird is I wouldn't really say the Chargers.
Once every 4 years, I should say.
I wouldn't say Chargers are rivals with Broncos. Chargers are rivals with Chiefs. Chiefs rival with Broncos. It seems like all three of those teams are rival with the Raiders.
Yeah. Everybody in that division hates the Raiders, right?
Yeah,
there was. You're right about that. They were going to build a stadium. Remember it was going to be in Carson City, I think? Or maybe I'm thinking another one.
Carson.
They were going to build that stadium, and they were going to have real lightning. Remember, they're going to try to generate real lightning bolts for the Chargers, and they were going to have an eternal flame for Al Davis. Those were the selling points of the stadium. And I remember freaking out when I saw that because I was like, this is never going to happen. They're never going to build that stadium for them. Like, Kroenke's already building a stadium. They are never. It's going to take 25 years to build that stadium in Carson.
Yeah.
They're never going to build that. Why are we drawing it? Why are we hiring a firm to promote this? Why are we? You know, no. It's never going to happen. Like, Kroenke's got the stadium you want to play at. That thing is going to be amazing. I went on a virtual reality tour at the Super Bowl, and it was cool. You put on the goggles, and it's like, oh, look, it's going to look great. It really is. The fact that the Chargers are going to get there and they're going to play in front of a lot of empty seats may be a concern, but that stadium's going to look great. It's really going to look great. I think the Raiders stadium is going to look fantastic in Vegas, too. I think that's supposed to be really, really well done. Man, this is the other thing, too. Be careful. All of these new stadiums are going to make other teams go, oh, we just built our new stadium, and it's not even close to like this. I guess we need another one. And these towns are going to be like, oh, we just gave you money. Like, yeah, I know, but, you know, we don't have the fancy stuff like Los Angeles and Vegas. All right. Let's get it over with and pass another tax ordinance on the people to build you a new crib.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, 1991. This state, Magic Johnson announcing he was HIV positive. It's 2019, and it really is an amazing story. It really is an amazing story. If you were alive then, you know what we're talking about. You know the emotions of feeling like you were going to lose Magic Johnson, and within a very short amount of time, and that he's still here, and we don't talk about it at all. We just talk about what he's doing with his life and how he's conducting business with going with the Dodgers and what his time with the Lakers and all of that. We don't even remember that. All right. Adam Burns joins us, betonline.com, as we go through the NFL weekend, especially starting tonight with the Chargers taking on the Raiders. How are you, Adam?
Hey, not bad. Yourself?
Good. All right. Let's start with the Thursday night game. If people may want to get something on that, it's a 1-point spread last time I checked. Obviously, correct me as we go along what the new lines are going to be. Again, Raiders, Chargers, looks close. Records are close. How do you see these teams?
Yeah, it actually moved to 1.5 now. We're taking about 70% of the money on the Chargers. I was reading some stats that I think Philip Rivers is 8-2 on the Thursday night game. So I guess people buy into these sort of stats sometimes, even though it really makes no difference considering who they're playing or over the years. But a lot of people like those sort of quirky stats. So we're going to need the Raiders tonight, and like I said, about 70% money coming in on the Chargers.
Those Thursday night games, Thursday nights affect both teams, but is there a angle you want to check out with a Thursday night game, a trend at all?
No, like I said, I mean, I mentioned that one trend.
Right.
But I think that's just coincidence more than anything. But to me, when we're looking at putting up spreads, we're just looking at sort of the matchup, and, it's kind of a rivalry kind of game, essentially. So, it's basically a pick 'em. It's just that the money's coming in more on the Chargers and then the reason they're favorite.
Chiefs taking on the Titans in Nashville, and still Patrick Mahomes sounds like he's progressing well, sounds like he could play, but nothing's been definitive. Would you monitor this? How would you monitor this where the spread is? Looks like about 3.5 in terms of where Mahomes is in the progression of his injury.
Yeah, well, the latest news is that he's probably going to play. The spread actually now is Chiefs -6. And we're taking about 60% of money on the Chiefs. I think people are assuming he's going to play. Now, anything could happen. We've seen this in the NFL before where guys either are supposed to play or not supposed to play, and then it changes at the last minute. So this is one that we have to keep an eye on pretty closely. But right now, like I said, about 60% of the money on the Chiefs. So we'll probably need the Titans. If Mahomes doesn't play, I mean, that's going to come down by at least, 3.5 points probably.
Falcons at the Saints, both teams coming off a bye week, and both are going in completely opposite directions. Saints have won 6 in a row. Falcons have lost 6 in a row. We've talked about this a number of times. Another double-digit spread. This is about 13.5. Where do you see this one at the Superdome?
Yeah, I mean, it's a divisional game, so those are a bit tricky. And Breeze looked really good last week, and the Saints are second favorite to win the Super Bowl now at 5-1. Right now we're taking pretty much 50-50 money on both sides. Some people, I think, are staying away from this game. It's right now not a heavily bet game. But as I've mentioned before as well, that, we take about 80% of the money on the day of the game. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. I took the Saints in my survivor pool. I mean, obviously, the biggest spread of the week is -13. You never know. I mean, the Falcons, they're sort of just had a disastrous season so far. And it's, like I said, it's kind of a rivalry game, divisional game. Anything can happen. And we've seen it before this year. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
How do you handicap or look at a game like Cincinnati-Baltimore? Have no idea what Ryan Finley is going to do or what he's capable of. We've seen surprises before, but that's not likely the trend in the NFL when a rookie quarterback steps in for his first start, even after a bye week. How would you look at that game? How would you bet that game?
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the reason that the Ravens are 10-point road favorites. And pretty much there's almost no money coming in on the Bengals. It's all Ravens money. Partly because of, like you said, with Finley, we have a couple prop bets up on him on how many yards he'll pass for this week at 225 and stuff like that. So, like I said, it's all Ravens money right now. We're going to need the Bengals no matter what. But again, Yes, normally, I mean, a rookie quarterback coming in, especially against Baltimore, who's coming off their big win against New England, and they're looking pretty good. You know, maybe Finley can do a little bit on offense, but the Ravens' offense as well is looking very good. With, you know, if Jackson can run and open things up, I mean, they're kind of hard to stop right now. It's kind of a surprise, really. I mean, how well they're playing. I mean, people knew they'd be good, but not as good as they have right now. They're at like 10-1 to win the Super Bowl, and they open about 40-1 at the beginning of the year.
Adam Burns joins us, betonline.com, as we go through some of the games in the NFL in terms of the numbers and the spreads and the lines. Bears-Lions, interesting to get your thought on this. These are two teams desperate for a win. I feel the Lions are playing better than the record indicates. The Bears have lost four in a row and should be playing better than their record indicates, but they aren't. How do you see this one at Soldier Field?
This is a weird one. I mean, we have the Bears minus, we opened -3, but then it's down to 2.5 because over, you know, three quarters of the money's coming in on the Lions on the road. I personally like the Bears here. I'm going to bet the Bears to cover this one. I think this is sort of their desperation game where if they're going to turn anything around and try to make a season out of their season, it's going to be this game. So I like the Bears -2.5. I could see it even going to 2 by game time, just with the amount of money coming on the Lions, which I'm actually, this is one where I was, before this interview, I was looking and I was pretty surprised overnight how much money came in on the Lions. So
yeah,
it'd be interesting to see. So, yeah, I like the Bears here.
Steelers and the Rams. There's got to be a lot of confidence amongst at least Pittsburgh folks that the Steelers are playing pretty well and 3-game win streak and looking okay. Good win against, you know, the Colts, despite Jacoby Brissett's injury. But these are the Rams. They've looked like they've righted a little bit. Where's the money heading in this one?
Actually, the money's coming slightly more on the Steelers. I like the Rams here. I think the Rams, like you said, they're starting to play a little better now and starting to pick it up. And, you know, if they want to make the playoffs, they're going to have to. And I think the Steelers have had a good run. But if you look at who they played against, I think it's a little bit of an indication that the Rams are a legit favorite here at 3.5. But, you know, always, I mean, it's like they say, it's not if you win or lose, it's if you cover the spread, right? So
that's right.
basically, I like the Rams in this spot. I think that they'll finally give the Steelers a little shock.
Again, I know how line, you know, you and I have talked and how lines get adjusted and whatnot. The Monday night game, Seattle and the 49ers, 6 is the line. I thought it would be closer in terms of the line, and I know it's adjusted based on money, but that stands out to me. Does it stand out to you?
It does stand out to me, and again, I mean, we kind of look at the line and how people are betting it. And we are taking a little bit more money on the Seahawks, which I'm not surprised. It opened at 6.5. It's down to 6 now. I kind of like the Seahawks here. I think this is a big spread, and I think it's over-adjusted just based on San Francisco's record. If I was betting this game, I would take Seahawks, which I probably will, depending how I do on Sunday. But I think that's the right side. But you know what? The Niners have surprised, and I mean, let's face it, they're playing way above what people expected. They're sort of like Baltimore in the sense that going into the season, yeah, people knew they might be good, but not as good as they've been. So it's a bit of a big spread, but, you know, San Fran's one of those teams that has a big following around, you know, the U.S., and a lot of people bet on them a lot, especially now how they've been doing. So it's kind of an interesting spread, and I'm curious to see how we're going to close this line on Monday night.
When you look at a game and you have a sort of a dynamic that's featured like in this one, where you have a quarterback that leads the league in touchdown passes going up against the number one pass defense in the league, do you lean more on the offensive side or the defensive side in this league?
This one is sort of a 50-50, I think, because,
yeah,
like you said, you know, Russell Wilson's been having, he's favorite to win MVP at 2-1. Or just over 2-1. And, you know, Garoppolo's been playing well, but their defense has been really, really good. So it's sort of it kind of balances out, I think, in this situation, especially. It'll be this game I'm actually one of the most interested in for the week, just to watch to see how, is San Fran actually that good or is Russell Wilson actually that good? You know what I mean? So, and Seattle's defense hasn't been that great. So it'll be kind of an interesting one to see.
Vikings and Cowboys, another interesting one. That is at 3 in favor of the Cowboys at home at AT&T Stadium. How do you like that one?
Yeah, Cowboys 3-point favorites, 48 over-under. You know, they're expecting quite a bit of points in that game. Money right now is actually coming on the Vikings, getting the points, about 60%. So we're going to need probably the Cowboys by the way the trend is looking right now. But it's a Sunday night game, so, you know, after the 4 o'clock games end, you just see a ton of money come in on these games. So it could that could flip very easily. But, you know, I think I like the Cowboys here in this situation at home on a Sunday night primetime matchup.
Good talking with you, Adam, once again as we head into the weekend. Good luck to you and all of that, and we'll get started up with you next week.
All right. See you guys. Thanks.
You got it. Adam Burns, Bet Online. And again, with football and basketball season in full swing, get into the game with our exclusive sports betting partners, Bet Online. If you sign up today, you can receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. You can start betting college or professional sports. Every total, spread, winner, loser, you can straight bet, parlay, tease your way through the season. Who will win the NBA MVP? Who will be the first head coach fired? Some of the prop bets that you can put down at Bet Online. Also, get the fastest to market odds updates, payouts with Bet Online. And head over there today. You use your mobile device. Join, use the promo code SBNation55, that's SBNation55, to receive your 50% welcome bonus. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Some more thoughts as we head into the weekend of NFL and college football next on SBNation AM.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SBNation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, and this hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. 1991. God, were there any... Why weren't we filled with really awesome beats? Fun, upbeat music?
In 91?
Yeah.
It was a struggle.
Depressed society back then?
I always do the same thing. I always go to the Billboard Top 100 for that week and just scroll through the songs. We had so many slow songs in 91.
I know.
This week in 91. I mean, even like you look at Guns N' Roses, their top song this week, Don't Cry.
Guns N' Roses, Don't Cry?
Yeah, their top song.
That's why we want the ballads, man. We want the ballads.
Yeah, that's all it was. We all wanted ballads. I've been going through, and I'm like, oh, look, okay. I could play Aaron Neville, Everybody Plays a Fool, but that's kind of slow. Or there's Roberta Flack with Maxi Priest, Set the Night to Music. But they're all slow jams.
91, man. We were 1991. Weird year for music.
We were into that slow jam.
We were. Maybe we were all getting off the hard rock stuff, the hair bands of the 80s. We're kind of disappearing from that a little bit. So I was watching one documentary on that time, and I think it was one of the bands was talking. I think Dokken or something like that was saying how their managers started telling them, "Don't buy the hairspray. Don't do that. Don't wear the makeup. Don't do that anymore. People don't like it. And these bands fired those guys, and then those guys went off to manage like Soundgarden and Nirvana and all those other bands in the 90s, and then those other guys were just left to be thrown off to the side.
It's really, it was just a different time. I mean, that was the thing to do, you know, get all the hairspray, put eye makeup on. I mean, Twisted Sister, I mean, Dee Snider used to just cover his whole face in makeup.
Yeah, exactly.
Alice Cooper, does he still put on the black eyeshadow or whatever you want to call that?
Yeah, I think he does. I think it's still his thing. But I haven't seen him in a long time.
I mean, that era is gone.
That's right. That's right. So, again, this weekend in the NFL tonight, the Chargers and the Raiders. But, boy, there's a couple of games here this weekend. We'll talk more about it tomorrow when we go through our watchability games. There's a couple of games in here that, I don't know, that stand out as really good matchups. Yeah, some really good matchups. Minnesota-Dallas is a good one. You got the Panthers and the Packers going on in Lambeau Field. Of course, Monday night's the big one, Seattle and the 49ers. I know that people, like the Rams and the Steelers, if the Steelers beat the Rams, I'll take their playoff pursuit seriously. But if they lose to the Rams, the narrative for me would be this, well, the Steelers beat some teams that that are around what they are, and they're going to lose to teams that are way better than what they are. And that's kind of how I'll take it. But if they upset the Rams, maybe I'll feel like, all right, maybe something's clicking, right? They're, the 10-point spread for the Ravens and Bengals, I think the Ravens are going to win by 30 points against Cincinnati. But if they don't, and Ryan Finley is the savior of the franchise, then I'll be, you know, I'll come back here on Monday and be like, all right, I didn't see that one coming. But you take a winless team that's starting a rookie quarterback against the Ravens that are coming off the Patriots, this, ugh. Maybe it's because it's the NFL and we don't usually get crazy with the spread, but this could be ridiculous. I mean, the Ravens could walk away with this one.
Yeah, they, I mean, walk away with that division in, what, 2 weeks?
That's
weeks,
right.
Possibly.
The big smell of the weekend, though, is going to come from New York where the Giants and the Jets are going to meet at the MetLife Stadium.
Yay!
Daniel Jones will turn over the ball. The Jets will find a way to lose.
Will the Black Cat come back?
The Black Cat will come back and just shake its head. It'll come right out, take a look at these teams and go, ugh.
No, we need him to come back to make the game entertaining.
That's right. I like saw somebody. Said,
Daniel Jones will be throwing picks and Sam Darnold will be seeing ghosts.
I saw the somebody photoshopped the cat on a Madden cover. Brilliant.
Yes.
Absolutely brilliant. Wonderful stuff. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.